Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Canada TV is a program venture where the content comes three ways: Spanish, English, and bilingual or Spanglish. Chief Creative Officer Isabel Lafferty joins me next. Young Women, the opportunity to be science and technology innovators on Mission Unstoppable, part of CBS's The Dream Team, It's Epic's weekend schedule. In our next half hour, we'll go in-depth on this 2020 Daytime Emmy nominee with producer and showrunner Anna Wenger. Also ahead, yesterday's absence, why we didn't show up on the air, and today's sports-minded shows to know. Hey, everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. An outstanding Friday afternoon to all of you, and welcome once again to the program all about TV's current and future. 81 degrees at the top of the hour, a little murky outside in the New York metro area. Delighted to have you aboard for the next hour or so, and we have some great guests coming your way along that line. So be involved with us. Get interactive by using the phone, and the way you do that is you pick that phone up, you dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. We have a chat room also in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at the good page at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. On our way to our first guest, we've got a trio of news notes for you. First of all, at this hour, we still have not heard from California Governor Gavin Newsom on guidelines to reopen TV production in his state. They were supposed to be announced on Memorial Day, then we were told later in the week, and at this very moment, we still haven't heard. We'll see what happens before the end of the day. Second, that SpaceX manned launch taking two astronauts to the International Space Station from Florida that was scrubbed on Wednesday with 15 minutes to go on the countdown, well, it now has been reset for either tomorrow afternoon or Sunday afternoon. The launch will be carried live on most of the broadcast networks by cable all news channels. There will also be a simulcast by Discovery and Science Channel, and we suspect there will also be one from ABC News Live and National Geographic. Again, that will be tomorrow or Sunday afternoon, depending on when the launch finally happens. And finally, in the last hour, Disney Plus has given a second season to Diary of a Future President, or Gina Rodriguez of Jane the Virgin's fame. The scripted series will come back for a second season, 10 episodes in 2021. And that is news notes for today. Try this on. 40 years ago, this very month, there was only one television network directed at the burgeoning Latino population. At the time, it was called SIN, now you know it as Univision. And in the last four decades, Latino television has become a very, very big business with broadcast networks, cable networks, networks in Spanish, networks in English. Some are still around. Some have passed away over the decades. But earlier this month, there's a new player in the Latino TV game. It's called Canela TV. And what makes it very unique is the programming, as I mentioned, the cheese, comes in three ways: Spanish, English, and bilingual or Spanglish. Joining us live from Old Greenwich, Connecticut, in an internet radio exclusive, the chief executive of Canela TV, Isabel Lafferty. Isabel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
It is a pleasure. We're excited to have you aboard on our end, too. Isabel, what's been the reaction so far to Canela?
It's been amazing. We've been hitting our numbers, our viewership numbers that we were expecting in a month, in a week. So I think it just shows how much was needed in the market, and we're very, very excited to see how it's growing so rapidly.
Why do you think it's growing so rapidly? What about the programming or the way you're delivering it through smart TV sets and smart devices? What do you think makes it stand out for Latinos, which, by the way, we have a population of 62 million and climbing?
I think that one of the main reasons that we've seen such a growth is the Latino market is very young. So although the Latino market today is 18% of the population, if you look at the younger demos, you're seeing a huge percentage of that audience being Latino-based. So they are collecting things very early on to cut the cord, or well, they never had cable. So I think we meet more their desires on how they consume content, and I think that's why it's making it very attractive. Another thing is, yes, immigration is very important for the Latino market, and it's still a huge growth, but a lot of Latinos are being born here in the United States. So we see a lot of second-generation Latinos that are bilingual who are choosing to consume content in English and in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. So the network was designed all along to have the choice of languages. If you want Spanish language television, you got it here. If you want your content in English, you got it here. And if you want bilingual or Spanglish, come aboard.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How long has the network been in development for, and how did you decide, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and make it happen?
We've been working at it almost close to 2 years. I've been in the Hispanic ad-focused media space for over 12 years, and just growing different. I've been an entrepreneur in those last 10 of those 12 years, launching Hispanic companies. And I saw a huge need on reaching Latinos, younger Latino demographic, second-generation Latinos. And I didn't see a media company that was doing it right at the moment. So I thought, why not? I understand the Latino audience. I understand the audience. And I done broadcasts in the past. I'm like, there's a huge opportunity here, and we're going to take it. We're going to be one of the first to market to really talk to those Latinos authentically and with content that's going to be relevant to them, how they want to consume it, when they want to consume it. They don't want to have to rush through their day anymore and watch their novella at night. They want to be able to have the option to consume content as they like, however their life is. So if they want to consume a soap opera in the morning, in the afternoon, nobody's going to judge you. You can binge watch soap operas in our channel. If you want to watch 10 hours of soap operas a day, we have a lot of content for that.
How do you define doing it right or surveying your audience?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think it's going to be something ongoing for us. I'm never going to be happy and say we're just doing it right at this moment. I think we have some great things going on for us that is heading us to that direction. I think distribution is key. Being able to connect kids with Hispanics are cutting the cord. That's having both language, English and Spanish content to really address the diversity that exists of the Latino market. And bringing content not only from Mexico. I think a lot of broadcasters in the past and TV networks have been very focused in content from Mexico solely. So we wanted to bring content from all over Latin America to do it right, to really speak to those Colombians and those Argentinians and with content that is relevant to them. So I think variety is key, language is key, distribution. However, I think the second wave where we're heading is also producing content. I think there's not a lot of good content that speaks and to the U.S. Latino today that shares those stories that we want to hear. I think we're all being tired of the same portrayal of the Latino audience. If he's not a narco, if he's a gardener, and there's so many successful stories that are not being told today. So we want to be one of those first providers that are soon going to be sharing those stories with the Latino audience.
And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. We are talking to the chief executive of Canela Television. It's one of the newest services available on smart TV sets and smart devices, specifically TV sets that are powered by the Android operating system that includes Sony and other TV set makers, plus Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. We're talking to Chief Executive of Canela, Isabel Rafferty. She joins us live from Old Greenwich, Connecticut, our second guest, by the way, this week from Connecticut. On Wednesday, we had Rachel Stockman from Law and Crime Network, which is also which is based in New York, but she's in Connecticut because of the coronavirus pandemic. Isabel joins us live this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Signing out, I'm with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you for making this part of your last workday of May 2020, 81 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And if a question or comment for Isabel, ring it in, 646 646- 652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonAppleZero4 by name. We'll kick off June with 3 episodes again next week. That's June 1st, 3rd, and 5th. First and third, Monday and Friday, will be our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern to Pacific. And our Wednesday episode will be 2 hours later. That's 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Coming up on our first episode of the month on Monday, we'll have the writer and executive producer of the new AMC miniseries that will premiere the night before called Quiz, James Graham. It's about the one of the biggest quiz show scandals ever. It took place on the British version, the original version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is doing very well, by the way, on ABC. It was the top-rated show on ABC last night, Jimmy Kimmel version with celebrities, I think. But by one, celebrities had $500,000, came very close to getting that million, being the first celebrity in the history of the show to win the million. But in England, the series was marked by a scandal where somebody tried to bank, or built, I should say, that series of the $1 million. That's our first guest. And then reset from yesterday's program, we'll have the co-founders of Reverie, the network aimed at gay, lesbian, and transgender community people everywhere. Aaliyah Daniels and Chris Rodriguez will talk to them about the new quartet of services they have launched earlier this month, including what's believed to be the first global news channel aimed at the gay, lesbian, transgender, etc. audience. That's all coming up on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Isabel, how did you find the content? And talk about some of the specific series shows that you're running in Spanish, in English, and bilingual.
We wanted to find content that was not available in the U.S. I think that was one of our key decisions. We wanted to find content that was Latino, but had never had the chance to be aired in the U.S. So we went through, really traveled a lot, talked to a lot of very good producers in Latin America, Argentina, Chile. So it was a year and a half of flying and meeting with producers to find that key content that we needed, talking to people in the industry. And we found that there was a lot of high-quality content that had never had a chance to be aired here that was very successful in their country of origin. For example, one of the series that we're very excited, I am personally addicted, I have to confess, I'm the person that stays at 2 a.m. watching it. It's Argentina Love and War. It's an amazing series. It won tons of awards in Argentina. Amazing production, never been seen in the U.S., and it's incredible. So we're bringing those types of series that we know Latinos are going to like, but series from all over Latin America. I was born in Mexico, but I want to see content from Argentina. I want to see content from Chile. I want that diversity. So I think that's one of the key things in the decision-making was let's go after diverse content that is attractive to Latinos all across Latin America. Let's go into Spain as well and see what they have. And that's been one of the strides. Of course, we also understand Latinos love Hollywood. There's no doubt we like a big hit. So let's make sure we have those content also available in the app and free. I think there's nothing more beautiful than free, and our audience is very excited to be able to consume this high-quality content without having to pay for it.
Yeah. By the way, one of my favorite telenovelas of all time came from Argentina. It was a program called Rosa de Lejos, Rosa from Far Away. It starred a wonderful actress named Leonor Benedetto. It was done in beautiful black and white. It was very poignant. It was a show that featured really great acting, and it was about a woman's rise and really get to know herself. And it was really a very special novella. It broke the mold, if you will. It wasn't the, boy meets girl, boy gets girl, grandmother or grandfather or somebody screws up everything. And with a lot of, music that shouldn't belong, but every time it's like a crazy moment. It was very special. I don't know if you ever saw it, but Rosa de Lejos, I thought it was a terrific show. Somebody should bring that back. It was a really, really great series and very, very special.
Yeah, no, I did not have a chance to see it. I think there's some great content. I think it's also moving from the traditional novela, how novelas were filmed in the past. I think more serious type increasing. So, yeah, we like to have variety and also movies. I mean, beyond the series that we're bringing, we're finding movies with great stories of incredible Latino male and women that have done some stories I didn't know about. Like, for example, we have a great movie from Spanglish about Maria Montes, and I'm fascinated with her life. I didn't know her background or her life and how she became so famous. And I think it's connecting me to the Latino roots, and it's educating me as a Latina on different cultures from Latin America, allows me to travel to those cultures. So I'm personally learning a lot from different Latin America countries. I get the chance sometimes to be in Argentina one night, and the other night I'm in Puerto Rico. So it's a great way to travel now that we're stuck at home.
Is the service ad-supported, or do people have to pay a monthly fee or an on-demand fee to get the programming?
It's 100% ad-supported, so viewers will never have to pay anything.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the ad-support in a second, but first, have you in your first couple of weeks, have you found a signature show, a show that your audience is particularly fond of and is sort of making an early hit?
Yes. One of our main hits, I would say our biggest hit right now, is a show called Esmeraldas. Esmeraldas is a Colombian series from Caracol Entertainment. Our viewers are loving that show. It's a very addicting, suspenseful series, and we're seeing people seeing an average around 3 episodes a day, so it's an absolute hit with our audience.
Can people watch the programming at any time, or is the programming schedule that this show runs, let's say, 8 o'clock, and this show runs at 5 p.m., and this show runs blank Eastern or Pacific time?
Video on demand. I think that's the beauty. People can choose to watch it whenever they want. It's available. And it's just really however they fit it in their schedule. If you want, in my case, now that I'm watching Argentina Love and War, I start at 10 p.m. That's when I have time. And then I stay until 1 a.m. in the morning. The same thing here. We've seen people watching very early in the mornings, in the afternoon. So we have interesting different picks around the day. And it's that flexibility that I think is very attractive of the service.
Yeah. How are you doing early on with advertiser support? I know that there, in the last couple of years, we have seen a lot of advertisers get finally into Spanish language television, especially the websites and these, like HomeAdvisor or TripAdvisor or Expedia, or some of the newer sites that allow you to order products or services online.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing advertising for specific to Hispanic in the websites. We represent 180 sites beyond our OTT service, some of the largest Hispanic properties. So we have had the opportunity to work with a lot of the advertisers that are focused in the Latino space. So we are seeing the same advertisers interested in doing OTT. So I think there are some advertisers that have been embracing the market since early on, and we see the same people that are embracing it in the display and in the website advertising side of the business, they're doing also OTT.
Yeah. Isabel, because of the pandemic, we are seeing a lot of advertisers. It's like every break you will see at least one spot that is from a major advertiser or from a relatively new advertiser that is designed to sort of be communicating with the audience, like, we're with you, we're in this together, whatever we have to do to make your life easier, we will. Are you getting a lot of these social conscious type pandemic ads?
We've seen a few. I wouldn't say a lot. And maybe yes, there's a lot of advertisers that are putting that message across. I think in the OTT space, I feel like, and I might be incorrect on this, yes, it's great to have that message in the market, but a lot of those, we see it more in linear television, because I think advertisers had signed agreements with these broadcasters, and they cannot cancel them, so the spots that they have purchased, they don't want to lose them, so they're changing the message. I think in OTT, since there's the flexibility to just start your campaign and end it whenever you need to, we're not seeing as many of those ads, but not as many as we've seen in linear.
Yeah. Incidentally, can the ads run in English and Spanish or bilingual? Are you taking ads in all three ways?
Yes, we are, and we have a very interesting algorithm that we developed that allows us to understand if the audience prefers to be spoke to them in Spanish versus English, and serve those ads dynamically to what will be the what they're going to be more they will prefer, whatever the preference might be.
You are hearing Isabel Raftery. She is the chief executive of one of the newest smart TV filming services on the block. It's aimed at Latinos all over the map. It's called Canela TV, and it's available on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and TV sets with the Android TV operating system like those made by Sony. Isabel joins us live from Old Greenwich, Connecticut this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sonny, I'm with you live from New York. Glad you're spending the rest of your week with us right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or on the IR Radio Podcast Network. And if you have any questions for Isabel in our remaining moments with her, make the phone ring your way, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Wednesday, we're coming your way at a later time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. A lot of critics are raving about one of Hulu's newest shows that premiered earlier this month, The Great, starring Ellie Fanon as a very irreverent Catherine the Great. The writer, the Oscar winner for The Favorite, one of the films from a year or two ago that did very, very well, the film with Alison Colvin. And in this case, we will have joining us live from across the pond the executive producer of The Great, Marion McGowan, in an internet radio exclusive interview. It's Marion McGowan from Ellie Fanning's The Great on Hulu, live with us, special time next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Isabel, one of the ongoing controversies with Latino television has been even in its maturity. You know, we're 40 years from where things really started with SIN in a big way. We still are not seeing a lot of shows in Spanish produced in the United States with Latino writers, with Latino producers, with Latino directors. Every now and then you will get a Telemundo program produced in Miami, such as Bay La Fea, you know, Betty in Nueva York, which was a sensational show, by the way, which was shot partly in New York. Or you'll get many, many years ago, there was A Field in L.A., which was a series that was a Law & Order weekly series from Univision. It didn't last too long, despite good reviews. What kind of commitment is your network having or will have to commission original Spanish language, English language, bilingual Spanish programming from U.S. writers and U.S. talent?
Yeah, I think that's what makes the essence of Canela, and that's what we want to do for production. We are U.S. Latinos, and that's how we're identifying. We're not, and I think that people that can write the best stories for U.S. Latinos is U.S. Latino writers. It needs to be produced here. It has to be U.S.-based. It has to be authentic. And the only one that can really understand this market is people that are born, that live here. They're Latinos, American Latinos. So that's where we're going to be different. We're a U.S.-focused company and fully focused in the Latino market, and nobody better to say those stories than the people that live here that understand this culture.
How soon can you make this happen? And not only make it happen, but also encourage producers, no matter where they are in the United States, whether it's Los Angeles, here in New York, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Texas, Chicago, Miami, North Carolina, to create the programming.
We want to start doing our own programming as of next year. So, yeah, we're planning. We have very aggressive plans of growth, and that's one of our key pillars. We're already starting to talk to a couple writers and producers. So our goal is to move quickly and tell those stories. So, yeah. I encourage any Latino that has a good story to share with us and explore opportunities with us, because we're very hungry to find those authentic, cultural relevant stories.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, what about unscripted or reality television? Is Canela doing anything in that side of the TV ledger?
Not at the moment. In the future, we would love to get into unscripted as well.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems that that is one area where we are seeing networks like Univision and Telemundo and others really start to move. You have like Telemundo Exotan, which has become a major hit for several years with them, the sort of amazing race or obstacle kind of course. You have the Voice. We've had Deal No Deal being tried. We've had other game shows, et cetera, on a number of different channels. And it seems that there definitely is a Latino audience for unscripted TV.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no doubt there is, and yeah, but we want to eat the world at once, so we have to start one step at a time, but we do see the importance of unscripted, but little by little we'll get there.
The name of the service, Canela TV, and you can find it right now on Roku, Apple TV, TV sets with Android TV as the operating system, like Sony and Amazon Fire TV, operating 24/7 and advertised and supported. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.canela, that's K-A-C-A-N-E-L-A.tv, but www.canela.tv. It's a few weeks old and already impacting the Latino marketplace, now with 62 million people across the U.S. of A., and rising. Isabel Rafferty, the chief executive of Canela, thank you again for joining us. Muchas gracias for making the network fly, and hopefully this is the beginning of a marvelous ride along for you. And we'd like to stay in touch with you about, for example, the original shows you do here in the United States. And as soon as the shows are ready to go, we'd love to have the creators as well as you back on the program.
Thank you so much. Muchas gracias. And we look forward to coming back with some amazing shows to share.
You're very, very welcome, Isabel. Have a great fin de semana.
Adios.
Adios. Isabel Rafferty, joining us live from Old Greenwich, Connecticut. More tomorrow's show live coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Hopefully we're not too far away from CBS All Access presenting the new version of Stephen King's classic novel, The Stand. And if you don't want to wait for CBS All Access to do their thing, how about reading, or actually hearing, the book? You can, with a trial run, 3 books, 1 month trial at Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's simple. audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 free audiobooks, 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And incidentally, those 3 audiobooks include 2 of them from the growing catalog, fast-growing catalog, I might add, of Audible Originals, original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today or this weekend be the time that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? It makes a great gift, birthday, anniversary, holiday gift, anytime you like. And all it takes is to go to audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Kamari Televised. We're going to talk all about the Tube, TV's current and future. We're usually with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Next week, we kick off June with 3 episodes, Monday and Friday at this hour, Wednesday, at a special time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Our guest will be the executive producer of the new Hulu hit, The Great, starring Ellie Fadden, in a very irreverent portrayal of Catherine the Great. Mary McGowan, the executive producer of the program, working with the award-winning writer of The Favourite, that will be with us. So, Mary McGowan from The Great, join us live, special time next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And remember, this weekend you can catch up on any or all of our episodes this month. We've had some fantastic guests all along, people like Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead, folks like Abby Morgan, the creative executive producer of the Sundance TV series The Split. We had David Slade, the executive producer and director of Barkskins, the new miniseries about National Rapid Channel that premiered Monday night. And earlier this week, Marty Adelstein, the head of Tomorrow Studios, the folks behind Hannah on Amazon, and more recently Snowpiercer, which is doing very, very well on TNT. So check them out. Very simple. Go to our homepage anytime you like, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or check us out on podcast. We're available in so many ways, in so many places, iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, it's in radio, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Remember, if you go to TuneIn Radio, IR Radio, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised, put it all down in that search bar, click, and you get all our episodes. Simple as that. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll have a pair of sports-oriented shows to know, 2 classics with classic athletes. But first, there's a show on CBS this weekend that you might want to catch. It features the return to television of iCarly herself, Miranda Cosgrove, and it just got nominated for 2 Daytime Emmy Awards. The show is called Mission Unstoppable. We'll have its producer, Anna Wenger, join us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, together reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your 24-7 home for the coronavirus news channel, the latest reporting from around the world on how the pandemic is hitting all of us, including you here at home, plus podcasts and original material. An opportunity for you to get involved with your chat or your comments by phone or chat room. The Coronavirus News Channel, operating 24-7 for you. Tune in radio at tunein.com. Welcome back to more Toronto Televised on this Friday afternoon. It's our last episode for the month of May 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. We have a great guest coming away in the half hour ahead. And we invite you to interact with that guest and yours truly simply by picking up the phone and dialing in 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. For the subject of our next segment, it has been a great May. Earlier, the show that she works on, called Mission Unstoppable, part of the CBS It's Dream Team, an epic weekend day part, either on Saturday, Sunday, depending on your local CBS station, won the Gracie Award, one of several that's just put together by American Women in Radio and Television. And last week, it won two Daytime Emmy Award nominations, one of them for Outstanding Informational and Educational Program. And by the way, the Daytime Emmy Awards, for the first time in over a decade, will be back on broadcast television next month on CBS. Joining us on from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the producer and showrunner of Mission Unstoppable, Anna Wenger. Congratulations, Anna, and welcome in.
Thank you so much, Simon, and thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. How's everybody on your crew reacting to the two Daytime Emmys, not to mention the Gracie Award?
Oh, man. You know, we're just thrilled to get any recognition in your first season, I think, is a huge accomplishment and a great encouragement to keep going, you know, for season two and to make the show even bigger and better than it was before. And so we're all just thrilled and it's really giving us, you know, new life during this time as well when it's so hard to get anything done. It's really encouraging us to, you know, keep working and keep producing.
As you mentioned, this is the latest entry in a long-running series for CBS, The Dream Team, this epic, put together by Lytton Entertainment, which has become a major force in terms of weekend programming for kids and families. How long has this program been in development for?
In development, I would say I was hired in March of last year. So before that, this program was put together by Lytton Entertainment and the If Then Initiative. And I don't know exactly how long they developed it before they hired me. But when they hired me, they absolutely knew that they wanted to make a show that focused on women working in STEM, and then we developed it together.
Was there any one person or any one incident or situation you and the other producers heard of and Lytton heard of that said, we should do this kind of a program that gives young women the opportunity to say, you know what, you can accomplish great things by getting into the world of science and technology?
Well, I think that, you know, it's something that the If Then Initiative, whose entire focus is, creating accessible role models for girls to see women working in STEM. I don't think it was any one incident, but of course, just the general feeling of society that women don't belong in science, technology, engineering, and math. And there have been so many instances of that occurring. And I think that, you know, the If Then Initiative, as well as the national treasure that is Gina Davis, who has the Gina Davis Institute on Gender and Media, did a bunch of research that, you know, proves that girls... I think the most telling statistic is that the more television girls watch, the less they feel they can become, the less opportunities they feel they have. But the more television that boys watch, the more opportunities that they feel that they have. So, I mean, this has been ongoing research that's been going on for years. And I think, you know, with Litton Entertainment and the If Then Initiative and the Gina Davis Institute for Gender and Media all teaming up, we decided to just address this issue straight on and say, hey, look, there are all of these women working in science, technology, and engineering and math. There aren't enough, and there are still so many barriers for them to get into it, but they do exist. It is possible, and we're going to show the world that.
That's very interesting research that Gina Davis brought up, and Gina's done a lot in terms of trying to expand the role of women in television. And I say that because we have seen in the last couple of years a big surge of women becoming executive producers, of becoming series creators, of becoming forming their own production companies, and also, as we just heard in our last segment, they're even forming their own filming ventures, like Israel Rafferty did with Canelo TV.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing. I'm so happy that this is happening, you know. There's been just such a surge in the last few years here about diversity in general, not only women, but any minority, and, you know, wanting to hear their stories and wanting to hear their point of views and broadening what it is, what kind of material that we make in Hollywood, you know, to be more inclusive of everyone. And it's just a really exciting time to be making film and television.
One of the fun things, Anna, about your series is that it's brought back to television and in a very ironic and fun way, someone who was really one of the first role models in terms of encouraging kids, especially women, to get involved with the Internet. And that, of course, is Miranda Cosgrove from iCarly, probably
yes.
One of the biggest fans I ever had. And the whole thing was about a girl who got involved with the Internet to make her own show. And it really was role model for so many people.
That's right. And that's why she's so perfect for our show, because, you know, she's already seen it as this person who is doing things that a normal girl wouldn't be doing, you know, but still remains, you know, feminine and a girl and enjoying the things that women enjoy, you know, and it's just so great to have her, you know. She is just perfect for this show, and we're so lucky.
When you approached her, was she welcome to the idea off the bat? Did she really want to make a comeback to host this series so long after iCarly? I know that she has been focusing on some other aspects of her career and her education. So I was curious, you know, when you approached her, was it a very quick, I'm back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she saw the program and just wanted to be part of it immediately. There was no hesitation on her part. And I think, you know, as far as a comeback, you know, I'm sure there's Miranda Cosgrove has so much going on and so many things that she could be doing, but she felt that this was a worthwhile show to do. And I mean, she just saw the value in it right away, you know. And I think both of us, you know, look up to Gina Davis in such a way, you know, as a leader and being at the forefront of this movement and, you know, pretty much having her involved, you know you're doing the right thing if Gina Davis is involved. So, yeah, it was we were really fired up about it right off the bat.
And she, along with Miranda Cosgrove, are involved in Mission Unstoppable. Once again, it's one of the winners this year of the Gracie Award for American Women Radio and Television, and it's just been nominated for 2 Daytime Emmy Awards. The show is carried on CBS as part of their Saturday or Sunday morning live, depending on the local CBS station. The Dream Team is epic, put together by Litton Entertainment, which has become a major, major force in terms of weekend programming for kids and families. We're speaking with the producer and showrunner of the program, Anna Wenger. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Tom Abbott with you live from New Web, New York. Good to have you aboard this Friday afternoon, last weekday of May 2020. If you have a question or comment for Anna, don't be shy. Be interactive. 646-652-2906 or use our chat. chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Monday on Survivor Televised, we will have for you the writer executive producer of the new AMC miniseries premiering on Sunday night called Quiz. It's about the big scandal that took place in the original version in England of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We've got the writer executive producer, James Graham, with us. And then, promised yesterday, and we will have them on Monday, the co-founders of Reverie, the network aimed at gay and lesbian audiences, Aaliyah Daniels and Chris Rodriguez. They just launched a quartet of new services, including what is believed to be the first global news channel, globally available, impacting the gay, lesbian, transgender audience. That's all coming on Monday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Who are some of the entrepreneurs and situations that Unstoppable has covered in its first season?
Oh, man, we try and cover everything and just a huge variety of people so that we can really demonstrate that there are women out there doing everything in every area of science, technology, engineering, and math. But we worked with one woman named Tammy Ma, who is working to harness nuclear fusion, which could basically solve all of our fueling problems on Earth and do great things for the environment. We worked with Kristen Lear, who is a bat scientist, to put it in layman's terms, and we went out at night and we caught bats, and she taught us all about the science of working with bats. We met with a woman who is creating ice cream using liquid nitrogen. We met with a woman who is a consultant for Star Trek and movies, and she's an astrophysicist who ended up in the film and television consulting business. So we really just worked with a very wide breadth of women who do a million different things. Maria Perez, who's a who works to unsheathe fossils and put dinosaurs together at the Perot Museum in Dallas. I mean, just a wide, wide range of people. And I'm learning so much because I come from the comedy world, you know. I have just come straight up out of, you know, Funny or Die, which I worked at for many years, and I show ran comedy shows like, you know, Billy on the Street and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. And, man, being put into this show about science, technology, engineering, and math is so amazing and mind-blowing for me because I have to go in and learn all of the stuff in order to be able to explain it. So it's like, it's just an awesome, awesome show, and it's great to work on too.
Well, given the fact that this is your first series of this kind, which is more educational,
yeah,
and very inspirational at the same time, too, as opposed to a show like Billy on the Street, which was a classic of its kind with Billy Eichner, or Step for Funny or Die,
yeah.
What kind of education do you have in terms of getting yourself and your crew up to speed to cover these entrepreneurs, to cover these innovators?
Quite honestly, we have to learn everything on the fly. I have a great respect for science, but I was a history major in college, and I took all of the required science classes but never delved in deep to all of the different areas. And frankly, Simon, I have to call up, you know, Tammy Ma and ask her pretty please to help me understand nuclear fusion so that I can explain it to the masses. And, yeah, I mean, we really, really have to learn on the fly. And luckily the crew, all of the crew that I hire are super, you know, interested and curious people. So we're learning a lot of stuff on the fly. But then also my co-producer, Lisa Lumar, in her former job happened to be a physician's assistant. So she really has a science background and can jump in there and get in a lot deeper right away. But for me, Simon, I got to learn it. I just have to admit it. I have to learn it, you know, because I just have a very, very basic knowledge of these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
How long did it take, Anna, to put a segment together? I think it's magazine format is your show. So it's like two or three segments, plus you have the host segments that Miranda does to, you know, make it go, have things go from one segment to another. So how long did it take to put a segment together?
Generally, well, it takes us a day to film it, but it takes weeks of preparation because we have to learn about the subject. We have to figure out what the best thing to focus on for the segment would be. You know, it's very difficult to explain huge, giant subjects in 3.5 minutes. So generally, we try and focus on one thing that is, you know, easy for people to grasp and that directly affects their daily lives, where it's like, oh, hey, you know, I can learn about bats. I see bats flying around, you know, or I can identify with needing unlimited energy. So I am interested in nuclear fusion, you know, and you try and find an entryway where, you know, people will realize, hey, this science and is part of my daily life. So this is something that actually directly affects me that I can understand. So I would say it takes, you know, a few, at least a couple of months to do the prep work of the talking with the scientists and learning about the subject and deciding together what the best thing for us to present to the show is.
How many episodes did you do for season one? And
good Lord.
How do you decide, like, what, and how do you decide what segments go with each episode? What do you cover here? What do you cover there? What do you wait till later in the season to bring on?
I mean, for the first season, we tried to get as much variety into each episode, right? So it's like, I don't want to do a whole episode that's all about robotics. You know, I'll do one segment that's about robotics, and then I'll pair it with a segment that's about sharks. And then I'll pair that with a do-it-yourself, here's how to do some science in your home, and then we'll do, you know, a segment about video games. So it's just a wide breadth of different subjects to really demonstrate the diversity that's out there and show as many different kinds of role models as possible. So when I'm looking at an episode, I'm just really looking at how the different segments balance each other out. And that's how I decide what goes in.
Did the innovators come to you, or did you have to, like, you know, do a search to find, you know, here is the kind of people that we want, or here is the subjects we want to bring on?
Yes. Well, okay, so the If Then Initiative, who is the sponsor of the show, has identified 120 If Then ambassadors, and they're all women working in science, technology, engineering, and math. And they are ambassadors of STEM to the public. So the If Then Initiative, we used many of the ambassadors that they have already identified for the show. And then we just Google, you know, female scientists, woman scientists doing amazing things in different areas. And you just come up with a bunch of different searches. And, you know, there'll be these little tiny articles like in university publications or, you know, local type of places where you learn about women doing incredible things. And then we just try and find them, you know, reach out to universities, reach out via social media. And then the third way that we get people is they actually hit us up on social media at CBS Unstoppable. And we've actually had a lot of really amazing scientists reach out to us via social media. And they say, hey, I think I would be great for your show. And I say, great, let's talk. And we start talking. And then recently, now that the show is getting more pickup, universities are reaching out to us and saying, like, hey, we've got these people at our university doing this great thing. So it's really great in the second season because there's just been, like, a lot of build-up, a lot of word of mouth, and that's how we cast the show.
The show is Mission Unstoppable, starring Miranda Cosgrove of iCarly fame and doing great, by the way, for herself. And the program runs as part of the CBS The Dream Team, It's Epic Block, that's available either depending on your local CBS station, Saturday, Sunday, or both days, depending on how things go. Usually the programs run after CBS This Morning Saturday, which runs from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time on CBS stations such as WCBS in New York, KCBS in Los Angeles, and so on and so forth. So you got to not only find the CBS station area, but when they play the programs. We're talking about the producer and showrunner of the series, which has just been nominated for 2 Daytime Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Educational and Informational Series. The Daytime Emmys will be running next month on CBS for the first time in over a decade. Hannah Wang is the producer and showrunner. She's with us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy you're with us as we get ready to wrap up May here on the program all about TV's current and future. Simon Abel with you from New York. 81 degrees, top of the hour. If there's questions or comments or any moments with Anna, don't be shy. Get interactive with us at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Any thoughts about having people who are doing television technology on the program? For example, this week we saw the rollout by 4 stations in Las Vegas, including the CBS affiliate, of what we call next-gen television, using what is called the ATSC 3.0 advanced transmission technology. I know there's a woman involved with a project called Pearl TV. It's a consortium of TV stations that are working on that project. You have 5G. You have interactive television and other things. I'm curious if going to a second season, you might find a television entrepreneur who's a woman who in TV technology or TV production.
Absolutely. It's somebody that I've been looking for. You know, it's so funny because there's such a variety of people out there that I want to work with. And it's like, I would love to get a technician, a female, you know, sound technician, camera technician, anything visual effects, anybody who works, I would love to get a visual effects person. And absolutely, that article, whatever you're talking about, Simon, send it to me. I need to reach out to those women if they're mentioned in that article. Like, that's exactly how I do it. Absolutely. I would love to have that on the show.
Yes, there's a press release on PR Newswire. It came out Tuesday, and we did an item on it. And there will be more. There are more because next-gen TV is supposed to roll out all over the country in both big and small places by the end of the year and then really take off next year as people will learn how to do channel everything from channels to interactive programming and advertising and so on and so forth.
Love it that you mentioned that. Any other ideas you got, Simon, you feel free to let me know. I'm looking for them all. I want to cover everything.
I'll tell you.
For sure.
One person who I think, actually 2 people I think would be great to have on, Gina Rodriguez, who we just announced her show on Disney Plus, Diary of a Female President, just got to renew for a season, for a second season in 2021, and Angela Channing, who's the executive producer of The Walking Dead on AMC, which is very special effects oriented, and this is someone who started as a writer on the series, then became a producer, and now she runs the whole ship.
God, I love it. I'm writing this down. Showrunner, Walking Dead. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Before we go, are there certain things you couldn't get into the first season that you would like to get into the second in terms of a technology or a particular model?
Yes. Yeah. I really want to get in airline technicians, airline mechanics, airline designers. And I want to get in car manufacturing as well. Those are 2 big things. I want to get more into the chemistry of makeup. And those are my – and then you hit the nail on the head with the TV and film. Yeah, the technicians working in TV and film, advancements in TV and film. I need to do more on video games. There are just so many, such a variety of areas that we just aren't able to hit them all up at once, you know? And so there's a lot, but yeah, the cars, everybody loves cars and everybody wants to know about self-driving cars. Any one working out there on self-driving cars, hit me up at CBS Unstoppable.
Yeah, somebody at Tesla might be. And by the way, speaking of video games, we have a couple of video game over TV services. We have Google Stadia. We have Apple Arcade. I believe there's a woman involved in a major role there, which has over 100 games you can play on the television set. So there's a number of people in that ballpark that certainly can maybe that bill. Absolutely.
And I have to tell you, I love doing an interview where I walk away with notes on things I can do for my show. So thank you, Simon.
Anna, you're very welcome. No, this is an absolute pleasure. Why not? The more we can encourage young women to of every background to really go for their dreams in the world of science, technology, and television, the better for all of us. It really is. The name of the program is Mission Unstoppable, and you can find it on your local CBS station as part of their weekend lineup known as CBS, the dream team set put together by the fine folks at Lytton Entertainment. Check your local listings for the CBS station in your area and, again, where it plays. Some stations run the block, including Mission Unstoppable, on Saturdays, some on Sundays, some split it up between both days. In many cases, if it's a block, the programs begin after CBS this morning, Saturday at 9 o'clock. On your local CBS station, like WCBS here in New York, KCBS in Los Angeles, WBBM-TV in Chicago, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about the program online, it's www.cbs.com/shows. www.cbs.com/shows. And once again, congratulations to Mission Unstoppable on getting two 2020 Daytime Emmy nominees, one for Outstanding Original Informational and Educational Series. The Daytime Emmy Awards will come out on CBS for the first time in more than a decade on broadcast television later next month. Anna Langer, the producer and showrunner of Mission Unstoppable, congratulations on the Daytime Emmys and the Gracie Award for Men, Women, Radio and Television earlier this month. It's been a delight having you on. Best of luck to you, to Miranda, your crew. And we'd love to have Gina Davis, by the way, on our show. I'm a big fan of her, particularly for her work in terms of expanding the roles of women in television. So please let her know, anytime she'd like to come on our program, we'll do an hour with her. No question asked.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Simon.
You're very, very welcome. And again, all the very best with the Daytime Emmys. Congrats on the Gracie Award. And you and everybody there have a fantastic weekend.
You too, Simon. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You got it. Take care. Anna Langer, producer and showrunner of Mission Unstoppable on CBS, joining us live from Los Angeles. Now it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know, where we highlight one, maybe more than one program that we know is worth your while to watch, and you might not know about it because it's either not well marketed, promoted, publicized, or falls on the radar screen of TV critics and journalists. And sometimes we bring you the opportunity to hear about classic TV programs that are available on YouTube, and that is the case today. Back in the 1950s and 1960s, you had a lot of local stations that were pressed for time to carry sports programming because there was not a lot of live sports coverage for the most part. So in many cases, they would go to syndicated sports shows, in many cases featuring the great athletes of the day, to have competition. For example, in the world of bowling, there were shows like Bowling Stars, All-Star Bowling, and the longest running of its kind, Championship Bowling, which had great stars like Andy Barapapa, Don Carter, Nelson Burton Jr., et cetera, et cetera. And in the case of golf, there were shows like All-Star Golf, Big Three Golf, Celebrity Golf, and in the 1960s, the CBS Golf Classic. It was created by Dan Curtis of Dark Shadows and the Winds of War fame. And that would have the greatest golfers of the day, like Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Chichi Rodriguez and so on and so forth. Well, two of the most famous of the sports competition shows we want to talk about today. The first appeared in 1960 on TV stations across the country from ZIB, the syndicator behind Highway Patrol and Sea Hunt. It's called Home Run Derby. And for the very first time, it brought together the great hitters of the game, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Jackie Joseph, Duke Snyder, et cetera, et cetera, Ernie Banks, in a competition to see who could hit the most home runs in a nine-inning situation. Here's the way it worked. Two players competed, nine-inning game. The idea, hit as many home runs out of Wrigley Park in Los Angeles. There was a Wrigley Park in Los Angeles at the same time there was back in 1960, as there was a Wrigley Park in Chicago. The way things worked was this. If you didn't hit a ball out of the ballpark, foul ball, ground ball, et cetera, it counted an out. Three outs, you're out of the inning. At the end of nine innings, whoever had the most home runs won. Winner got $2,000 in cash. Loser got $1,000. The winner got to play on against another champion the following week. But here's the thing. In addition, along the way, you could earn extra bonus money. If you hit three home runs in a row, you got $500. Another home run after that, another $500. Another home run after that, another $500. And then $1,000 each time you hit in succession. So there's an opportunity every episode to create some pocket change. Mark Scott was the host as well as the co-producer of the series. Did a very good job with it. And as I said, it had a great, iconic list of ballplayers involved. The show was a big hit when it premiered in 1960. But unfortunately, it only ran one season because Scott passed away during the run of the show in 1960, and the producers decided rather than replace him to stop the show right then and there. The director of the show also, by the way, passed away before 1960 ended. A number of decades ago, the programs were brought back on ESPN, and ESPN Classic did very, very well. And now, of course, there is the annual Home Run Derby contest that runs the night before baseball's annual Major League All-Star Game. Well, now you can see Home Run Derby in its entirety, that big 1960 season run, on YouTube. And that's not all. Excuse me. Another program that you can see on YouTube now is perhaps the greatest syndicated golf series of all time, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. It brought together the great players of the game, like Tony Lima, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Verdi DiVincenzo, and so forth, and had them play, match play, two at a time, the greatest golf course in the world. In the United States, England, Scotland, Spain, Africa, Asia, etc. The show was beautifully photographed. It gave you a travelogue into the country. The matches were 18-hole tournaments. It was hosted by, for many years, George Rogers, the former Baltimore anchorman at WMAR, the season split there, and also featured another great of the game, Gene Sarazen. Ben Hogan, Sam Snead also played off each other in some memorable matches. Well, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf ran 9 years under the sponsorship of Shell Oil. It was carried in the Michigan many NBC stations, that's how I saw it, from 1962 to 1971. And then it was later revived on ABC for more than a decade. Well, you can see the original version of the show and some great, great matches from the 62-71 run also on YouTube. So again, that's Home Run Derby and Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, two of the best iconic athlete shows around, and now available in glorious black and white, or in the case of Shell, in color, on YouTube. And, of course, YouTube now more available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Plus, it's also available under YouTube TV, and more recently, YouTube Kids. Two shows, by the way, that's great for people of any age. If you're a fan of baseball, a fan of golf, this is one you definitely should see. Home Run Derby, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, available on YouTube. Now, is there a TV series that you like that you think should get more attention and doesn't get it from anybody? Well, we'd like to give it on this program that attention, but we need to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit, but you got to let us know. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, tell me the name of the show, where it's playing. Also, find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, at UBCSimonTWET. When we come back, we'll tell you why we weren't on yesterday, and we'll tell you why we've adopted a new motto that best describes, in better detail, what we're all about. We'll get to that after you pause after the top of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio, spreaker.com, tunein.com, reaching over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 8 o'clock, it's Honeymoon Hideout on BTR with your host, Johnny Davis. That's Honeycomb Hideout, one of BTR's longest-running shows tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best of BTR and Spreaker available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Modern Televised as we get ready to wrap things up for Friday and for a week. Third of what we were supposed to have four episodes, but it ended up being, I'll tell you why in a moment. And we welcome those who just joined us at the top of the hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York, 81 degrees at the top of the hour. Some questions and comments, by the way, your thoughts about the world of TV. Love to hear them. So put it down in the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or give a call, 646-652-2906. We had intended this week to give you four episodes, Tuesday through Friday. We end up giving you three of them, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. So you might be wondering, what happened yesterday? Well, let me tell you. And let me, first of all, explain this. One of the things we have learned in doing this program on Blog Talk Radio, now in our 12th year, in fact, this is the month that we started year 12, and before that, nowlive.com, is that for all the brilliance of the Internet, and the Internet is one of the most brilliant communication tools and inventions ever, it's also a very fragile animal. And at any time, it can roar like a lion and yank you out of your game. We've had situations over the years where we went on the air, no problem, and then we had a guest on, middle of conversation, the guest drops off. Or the guest drops off, and then yours truly drops off, the show ends, and we have to reboot right on the spot. Or we get on the air, and the guest can't get on the air. Well, why did it happen? Well, for the most part, it happens because of technical breakdowns, anything from a power surge, either near where I am or near where you are or somewhere else in the country, or it's an outage or some sort of electrical shock or an earthquake or a big rainstorm. But whatever happens, it ends up being a technical breakdown from where you are or from where I am and Blog Talk Radio. Well, yesterday, we had a very unusual breakdown. It was a glitch, and the glitch came from Blog Talk. Let me explain. When we go on the air, we have to make a connection. Before we go on the air, usually about 10, 15 minutes before, we make a connection to Blog Talk. I call in as the host and producer, and then I have to give a PIN number so we make that connection. And usually, no problem. But yesterday, there was a problem. When I put the PIN number in, rather than the person say at the other end of the line, wonderful voice, to start your show now, press 1. Boom. You're on. The connection made. It was, I'm sorry, but I can't get at least the first 4 numbers of your PIN, or 4 numbers of your PIN. And then when I put the PIN number in exactly, the person on the other end said, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. And there went the feed. So for 10 minutes straight yesterday, from 2:50 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right after the time our show was supposed to go on the air, we tried to get the PIN number on and our connection made, and it never happened. Zip. So as a result, even though we had guests on the line, because we had guests on the line and I couldn't get through, our guests couldn't get through. Because in order for our guests to get in, and we have to do a sound check before we go on the air every episode, I have to have my connection up so that their connection can get up. So the folks from Reverie, who was supposed to be on our show yesterday, and that, of course, is Aaliyah Daniels and Christopher Riga, the co-founders, they couldn't get in. And they're probably wondering what the heck's going on. Unfortunately, we didn't know how long this glitch was going to last. So yours truly had to end the episode, apologize on social media, get to the publicists at Reverie, and let them know what was going on. And then immediately get in communication with Blog Talk Radio. And obviously, the communication got through, because we're on the air today, and we had no problem getting through. So thanks to Blog Talk Radio for getting that handled. And again, I want to apologize if any of you were tuning in yesterday to the show and you're like wondering what the heck's going on, why isn't Simon on? I apologize to you. I apologize to Reverie's co-founders who were supposed to be on the air. And I'm happy to say they will be on with us on Monday. And again, we have encouraged Blog Talk Radio not to have this glitch happen at their end anymore. We try to, as I said, the internet is a very fragile thing. We sometimes have to keep our fingers crossed, but hopefully this is the kind of a glitch that Blog Talk can control and we're causing it doesn't happen again. And that is that. And from here, we move on. So before we leave you and before we leave this month of May, I want to let you know about a little thing we've done with the motto of this program. All along, we have called this program the program all about television, or the program all about where TV's at and where it's going. Well, starting this week, we have changed that motto a little bit to better reflect what we're out to do with this series. We're now calling it the program all about TV's current and future. And that's because we have really been excited and exposed to a lot over these first 5 months of 2020. Despite this pandemic, we are seeing more and more people tune in to smart TV sets and smart TV devices as their TV choice of preference. We are seeing more and more programming services like Canela TV get on smart TV sets and devices. And by the way, many of those services, the majority of them, that have started over the course of these last 5 months, they're from new players. They're not from NBC Universal. They're not from Viacom CBS. They're not from AT&T Warner Media. They're not from Comcast. They are from new players. And they have very ambitious agendas that they really want to carry out, including expanding the role of diversity on television. And then you have, as we mentioned earlier, the Las Vegas stations launching next-gen television using what is called the ATSC 3.0 Advanced Television Systems Committee technology that will allow them to do much, much more with their television stations than ever thought possible, including more multicast channels, interactive programming, interactive advertising and product ordering, maybe telehealth and teleeducation, emergency alert systems, and so much more. And, of course, we're seeing the capability of smart TV sets and devices expand so that it could include telehealth, higher education, online banking through the television set, shopping through the television set, interactive ads, interactive content in different ways, and so much more. And we, of course, have the incorporation of 5G into the TV world, and who knows what that's going to bring. Maybe everything from live animation done live right before your eyes to augmented reality on the TV set, which is currently being done on Portal TV from Facebook, and video chat, and how interesting that is particularly progressing these last few months from the pandemic. It really has been an amazing ride these first 5 months. So as a result of what's been happening, we had to make the change. And I'm thrilled we did, because I hope it really gets into your mind that we are all about covering TV's current and future. And there are many, many futures that are being developed, and we hope to cover as many of them as possible. So I'm happy you're aboard. I hope you like the new motto. Love to hear what you think. And if you've tuned in, particularly this week, I hope you'll make us a regular habit, because a lot of things are happening in the world of TV. Oh, I forgot to mention the mega streaming services like Peacock and now HBO Max that launched on Wednesday. And we may see an expanded CBS All Access, and we are seeing services like Topic and so on and so forth, and Crackle. And, of course, Hulu and Netflix doing more and more original programming. So stay on the roller coaster with us, folks. It's one way of a ride, and we are happy to have you aboard. And please, get involved with our guests. Get involved with our show. Be interactive with us. We really do appreciate it, and they do too. And we give you two ways to do it, phone, chat room. So use both, because the show really is even better when you are involved. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us today and all of our guests all week long. It has been a pleasure to bring them to you. And we'd like to have you with us when we kick off June next week with, again, another trio of shows, June 1st, June 3rd, June 5th, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Remember, our Monday, Friday shows will come your way at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And our Wednesday show, special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Joining us on Monday, James Graham, the writer and executive producer of the new AMC miniseries premiering on Sunday night, Quiz. And we set from yesterday, the co-founders of Rivery, Aaliyah Daniels and Christopher Rodriguez. And then coming up on Wednesday at our special time, the executive producer of the new Hulu hit, The Great, starring Ellie Fanning as a very irreverent, offbeat Catherine the Great, Marion McGowan, the executive producer of that series, written by the Oscar winner from The Favorite. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, anytime you like this weekend, check us out on podcast and spread the word to others. We're available on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. And remember, if you go to TuneIn.com or iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click, and you get our shows right then and there. And, of course, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our program today? What do you think about Canela TV and what Israel Raftery is up to? What do you think about Anna Wenger and her series, Mission Unstoppable, and the entrepreneurs that they are showcasing for the next generation of young women? So let us know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can always find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Respond that way. My Facebook handle is Simon Applebaum, and we use it, by the way, to showcase up-to-the-minute news of what's going on in television. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT, at UBCSimonTWBT. We also use Twitter on a regular basis to showcase what's happening in television, give you the latest news developments. Also, we cover the Emmy Awards, other award shows involving TV in depth. So check us out there at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you. We respond in 24 hours, and it's a very simple reason why, which is what you say matters now more than ever. And before we go, I want to say a thank you to somebody who's been a part of the Blog Talk Radio family and part of this program for many, many years, our production associate, Candace Williams. Candace is moving on, from what I understand, so I want to wish Candace the very, very best. Thank you for all the great stuff you did on behalf of this program and other Blog Talk Radio shows, Candace, and all the very best. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Don't forget, Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sandberg's executive content producer, the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For free audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. And one more thing, you can also check me out with Tomorrow Televised and TV video download columns at MediaNews.com. It's the Media Leadership website. You'll find my columns there, along with more great reporting from Jack Myers, Charlene Weiser, E.B. Moss, Ed Martin, Jeff Kinney, and so many more. That's MediaVillage.com. And don't forget, you can check out their ongoing series of leadership conversations that held regularly a lot of great people in and around the media TV field. That's the Leadership Conversation Series. That's also available 24/7 at MediaVillage.com. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend, however you spend it. And we'll be back on Monday to kick June off. June 1st, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and TuneIn Radio Plus, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And, of course, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. We are one day closer to looking at this pandemic, and we will. So follow those guidelines. Stay safe and stay wonderful. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.